So for about a year now I've heard over and over, the Leafs need to trade Marner. The last few weeks same people, MVP, MVP, MVP. Gotta love it. I will say, though, that Marner has elevated himself to a whole new level and is the engine powering the Leafs. Penalty killing, power play, late lead protection and going into the tough areas put him into some elite company right now. A few years ago while attending a hockey development weekend in Toronto, I was exposed to a new sports drink. It was the prototype for what would become BioSteel. At that time it was still just in powdered form and the makers were trying to figure out packaging and formulation for retail sales. Well, BioSteel has exploded onto the scene the last few years, getting a solid footing with athletes and leagues everywhere. Most noticeably with a partnership with the NHL. They've kicked in a pretty big door with that move. To me, their biggest selling point is the zero sugar content. And of note, BioSteel is a Canadian-developed product. Congrats to the Timmins U12AA team for winning last weekend's regional Silver Stick tournament. Just a thought. The way some soccer players are embellishing the slightest contact, or even the appearance of contact, certainly takes away from the enjoyment of the game. I mean, come on, these guys go and stay down like they have been picked off by sniper shots and then miraculously bolt up to take part in the game with no ill effects. So I was thinking that maybe we add a rule change. If officials deem you are diving or faking, you must play the rest of the game barefoot. No cleats or socks. Nada. Yeah. That's the ticket. A once-in-a-lifetime viewing opportunity the other day while having breakfast with a Southern Ontario journalist at the Mac, a local friend asked me if I thought the world under 17 might someday return to Timmins. While I don't know the answer, it got me thinking about the last time it was here. We hosted two U17s, in 2000 and 2010. We also had a few games in the 90s when Sudbury was a host. Today's U17 is a different setup than what local fans are used to seeing. In 2010, Canada was represented by five teams, Atlantic, Quebec, Ontario, West, and Pacific. Today's format sees Canada Team Red, Team Black and Team White. Players from across Canada are invited to camp and are divided up into three teams. A few years ago, Hockey Canada brass decided that some geographic regions were unable to compete for gold versus the US, Europeans, Russians, and the two-headed monster of Ontario and Pacific. Both U17 gold medal games featured Ontario in the final. It was also thought that having players from across the country mixed in amongst three teams would benefit in preparation for the World Under 18 and World Juniors. I still get tons of people who want to talk about the World U17's time in Timmins. And a lot of people want to know about some of the players currently plying their trade in the NHL. As the head of player evaluation for both events, I decided to pull up some of my notes from 2010 and give you an update on some of the players who skated at the MAC. Most, if not all, are 93 birthdates and veterans of the NHL. A number of the huge number of players who went on to NHL careers after the 2010s have either retired, are currently in other leagues or have returned home overseas and are playing there. The following are a few of the more recognizable names still playing vital roles with their NHL clubs. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, Jake McCabe, John Gibson, Adam Lowry, Mika Zibanejad, Ryan Murray, Richard Rakell, Rasmus Ristolainen, Ryan Strome, Brett Ritchie, JT Miller, Jonathan Huberdeau, Philip Deneau, Cody Ceci, Dougie Hamilton, Jonas Brodin and Joel Armia. A pretty sweet lineup should you put them together. Nugent Hopkins came into the 2010 U17 as the projected number one pick in future NHL drafts. He would be selected first overall by Edmonton in the NHL draft of 2011. His skating skills, in particular, his edge work were on full display during the tournament and have been the mainstay of a stellar NHL career. His strong supporting role to McDavid and Draisaitl has kept the Oilers afloat while they are short-staffed up front due to injuries. Huberdeau, after establishing himself as a true superstar, is still trying to find his footing with a new team and system in Calgary and appears to be rounding his game back to previous levels. Gibson continues to be one of the game's best goaltenders despite playing for a young rebuilding Ducks team. Zibanejad shows no signs of slowing down as a key cog with the Rangers. Ceci was a part of an absolutely stellar Team Ontario Defense Corps along with Hamilton. in my mind that 2010 group of defensemen was among the best ever assembled for a U-17. Stuart Percy, Ryan Murphy, Justin Sefton, and Scott Harrington were a few of the other defensemen on that squad to be drafted into the NHL. Murray joined Sassi as a depth defenseman with the Oilers this season. A series of injuries has limited his ability to showcase his skills. He was considered by almost every scout to be the number one defenseman prospect in the tournament. That belief was reflected in Murray being selected second overall in the 2012 NHL draft. And now that he's back healthy, he provides a solid presence on the back end for Edmonton. Last year with the Avalanche, Murray added a Stanley Cup to his trophy case. The remainder of the aforementioned U-17 alumni remain solid leaders and contributors to their NHL clubs. Over 1,600 under-17 alumni have been drafted since the U-17 inception in 1986. In the 2011 NHL draft, the first round included Nugent, Hopkins at 1, Huberto at 3, Strome 5, Zibanejad 6, Hamilton 7, Brodin 8, Ryan Murphy 12, Miller 15, Armia 16, Denault 26, and Raquel 30th. There were other 2010 alumni taken in the first, but I'm just listing the ones I mentioned earlier. Oh yeah. After an injury to a goalie during the tournament, Stanley Cup winner and current Blues goaltender Jordan Binnington was flown up as an emergency goalie for the tournament. If you were one of the thousands who were there for the games in 2010, you saw at least 77 NHL draft picks zipping around the ice at the MAC, and some of the satellite communities that hosted games. It's a once-in-a-lifetime viewing opportunity for local fans. As the lead evaluator, I had to have a copy of every game's film turned into me for my records. Every once in a while I pull up a game and am mesmerized by the unbelievable skill level on display. Herculean effort. One thing that a lot of people that ask me about a potential future U-17 event here in Timmins don't realize is just how Herculean an effort is required to do so. The financial commitments alone are staggering. The organizing committee is made up of about 24 people and requires hundreds of volunteers. I wore a few hats during the 2010s and I think I had the easier job as compared to others. As part of the evaluation process, I worked under Team Canada's head scout. I had to assemble a group of 5 evaluators, one for each Canadian team, to view every one of their assigned team's games, after which they handed in reports to be included in the games I also viewed. At the end of the tournament, I assembled all the evaluations and an overall evaluation by me to Hockey Canada's head scout. I had 5 ultra-experienced evaluators ranging from NHL, Major Junior and U-17 experience that were uber-efficient. 4 of the 5 also had to travel to places like Rouyn-Noranda, Kirkland Lake and other host communities to watch their teams play. Those evaluations were to be shared with no one else. I also had to put together a group of guys to select players of the game, not only in Timmins but the other hosts too. They were asked to contribute their input into an all-star team and any other awards. Again, I had a crack group that I depended on heavily. This wasn't a kids' tournament where you looked at the score sheet and said, yeah, he'll do. This was an international championship that everybody is watching. So you better get it right. And they did. I also took the reins to get as much memorabilia as we could for auctions, draws and giveaways. Again, I needed the assistance of 4 dedicated and tireless people to make that happen. We contacted every NHL, AHL, Major Junior, NCAA, and some player agencies. And those we asked came through with flying colors. Well, except, the NCAA, as they cannot donate to what they deem a professional event. So, once again, I reiterate that my tasks were fairly easy when compared to others. But it required 20 essential volunteers for me to get my small part done. I also had the illustrious Diane Mulryan assisting 24/7 during the tourney. Others on the committee had a year's worth of grind before, during and after the event. Travel arrangements, feeding 10 teams and volunteers, game logistics, parking control, security, participant accreditation, arena and event upkeep, officials, support staff, government grants, fundraising, eventual fund disbursement, media liaisons, scheduling, team supplies, programs, 50-50, advertising, the number of things to do are endless. But ask any of the hundreds of volunteers, was it worth it? The answer will be, oh yeah. And then some. So in other words, it's a monumental task that requires a special group. And over the course of the two events hosted here, Timon set the bar for how it's done. It truly was a community event where parents, all minor hockey associations and the city of Timmins pitched in to make it an overwhelming success. I can only hope, like most of you, that we can host another international event someday here again. Wanna help? And one last thing. You hear a lot about how Finland is always a gold medal threat at any international event, despite a population of about 5.5 million. So smaller than Metro Toronto. Aside from a love of the sport, a dedication to the game, a birth-given tenacity, a commitment to quality coaching, and an emphasis on individual skill development as well as persistence to a 200-foot game, something else has always stood out to me. Back at the 2000 under-17, I attended the Finns' first practice with two scouts who spend a lot of time in Finland watching them. After a few minutes of observation, I turned to my two friends and asked, "Are these guys mad at each other?" "No," was the quick reply with a laugh. "They always practice like that." I had never witnessed as intense and no-holds-barred practice like that. Every drill was contested like they were losing by 2 goals with 2 minutes to play in a game. And they did not cut each other any slack. I made sure to attend every one of their practices that I could and continued that in 2010. Now in both years Finland did not medal, although they handed the powerful Ontario squad a loss in the tournament opener in 2010. But it's obvious their national program at the U17 level is preparing them with a work ethic and skill level that bodes well for them at the U18, World Junior and Men's National Team programs, but that's just my observation. Later, skater.